Chapter 3, Observation Post 9983. A guardsman had few expectations, yet at the least he wanted to know where he was going to war. But no one had heard of Observation Post 9983, and the 101st had a deflated air about it as the men of the regiment gathered their kit and marched the distance to Airbase Alpha 443. In the skies above Tyrock Fields, flyers were swooping down, constantly emptying and refilling with regiments as some made their way out to the Khazar fortresses along the 10-lane arterial highways, while vast planetary landers brought in fresh regiments. "Any idea where this observation post is?" Colour Sergeant Dahl asked as they saw the lines of Valkyries waiting. "None," Bendix said. His temper was starting to fray. They hadn't come home to observe. They were the 101st, for Thrawn's sake. A figure ran out from the side door of one of the Valkyries. He had a data slate in his hand and looked at it before saying, "Major Bendix?" "Yes, we're ready for you." "Know where we're going?" The man pulled a face. "Sorry." "What about our tanks?" The man tilted his head. "Sorry, above my rank." Bendix cursed under his breath. "Dahl, get the men on board." They climbed up onto the aircraft, platoon by platoon. "That's the lot," Dahl said, as the last guardsman clambered aboard. Bendix looked about him one last time and nodded. "Right, let's find out where the hell we're heading." They left their Valkyrie side doors open. Bendix and Sergeant Dahl stood staring out of Acadia. It took 6 hours to cross the checkerboard of Tyrock Fields, and then they were over moors, with armoured regiments crossing the wilds like herds on the savannah. The wind was cold on their faces. It made their eyes water. They had to shout over the roar of the turbines.
"We're heading northeast," Bendix said, for what it mattered. "So much for the drinking district of Khazar Tyrock," Dahl said.
Bendix stood in the lee of the doorway and looked down. Homecoming was overrated, he thought. Whatever this observation post was, there had better be a damn good bar nearby. A row of 10 Leviathans was making its way across the plains below. Each one was 100 yards tall, a hunched beetle of ceramite and gun barrels, trundling slowly along on massive tracks, with an honor guard of Baneblade tanks looking diminutive next to them. They went in single file, like a herd of giant groks. Their Valkyrie tipped to the side as the men crowded into sea, squinting into the wind. The Valkyrie did a little salute, and the signals officer of one of the Leviathans gave a short toot over the broadcasters to acknowledge them. And then the Valkyries turned south, towards the central massif, and the land beneath them was white with snow. They landed at a bustling base high up in the moors of Cadia's northern massif. It was about as cold and bleak a place as you could imagine. But there was no time to get out. The Valkyries refueled and then set off again, heading south. They flew through the night and got what sleep they could. Next morning, the engines were wheezing in the thin atmosphere.
"Are we lost?" Dahl asked.
Bendix opened the dozer crack. They were halfway up a craggy black mountain with snow-capped peaks, heading towards a vast vertical cliff face under the summit. Clinging to the side of the cliff, two-thirds of the way up, was a tiny landing pad with a rockrete parapet, a pair of slaved servo bolters tracking their approach, and the tarpaulin cover of a Hydra platform, below which was a metal door. There could not be a more bleak and deserted posting on Cadia, and it was there that they were heading.
"I do not believe this," Bendix said.
He glanced at the faces of his men. No one looked happy. The landing pad was only big enough for one Valkyrie at a time. It was a dangerous approach, with mountain gusts buffeting them as they approached the cliff wall. Each Valkyrie hovered as the troops disembarked, and then the empty craft flew away as the next in the queue moved forward. It seemed to take an age for Bendix's craft to get its turn. As they waited, the co-pilot came back to brief them.
"We're low on fuel," he shouted over the wind. "Get your men off quick."
Bendix nodded. He was tense as they made their approach. The black cliff filled his vision as their Valkyrie moved in. The co-pilot waved at them through the cockpit window.
"Ready!"
Dahl shouted, and stood at the doorway as they touched down. The men jumped out with all their kit, still perfectly presented, and ran over the ice-slick surface to the ramp that led down to the parapet. Sergeant Dykeen of 2nd Platoon was there, offering a steadying hand.
"Careful! Don't slip! It's 3,000 yards until you hit the bottom!"
Bendict didn't need a hand. He strode along the narrow parapet and in through the metal blast doors into a vast, reinforced chamber where the air was warm and dry. He strode forward. After the roar of wind and engines, the inner space seemed almost silent. He paused and listened. In the stillness, there was the distinctive low hum of maintenance engines. He looked about. On the rock-creaked wall in chalk were the crossed flag murals of all the regiments that had been quartered there. The names stretched away into the distant gloom. The last said Cadian 290th Steel Fists. "What the hell is this place?" Bendict asked. He turned and looked about at the cavernous chamber and spotted a man in civilian uniform making his way straight towards him. He had neatly combed grey hair, bushy black eyebrows, and bright violet eyes.
"You are Major Bendict?"
the newcomer asked. "Yes." The man's voice was light.
"My name is Rivold. I am the caretaker here. Welcome to Observation Post 9983.
Observation Post 9983 was little more than an icicle-clad parapet and landing pad, clinging two-thirds of the way up a mile-high granite cliff face under a looming overhang of thick white ice. The parapet hugged the contours of the mountain, with loopholes and firing ports staring out into 2,000-yard drops and an ancient hydro platform draped with tarpaulins just visible under the snow. It was a bleak, cold place, without road or access apart from the landing pad, which was subject to treacherous updrafts and on which only the most skilled pilots would dare land. Why anyone would want to place a base here was something that troubled them all. Bendict summoned his vox operator, Mia.
"Made contact with Northern Command?"
"Yes, sir," Mia said. "There's an old vox relay system here. Beast of a thing," he laughed. "Could probably talk to the captain of the Vitalitas Vector."
"We'll thank him for his hospitality," Bendict snapped. "But first, get someone in command. Find out what the hell we're doing here and what the hell we're supposed to be observing."
"Yes, sir."
"Tyson, has Armitage scouted out this place?"
"Yes," Tyson sniffed. "There's 6 floors that we know of, all going down into the mountain."
"6, Bendict said.
"That you know of?"
"Well, Armitage says that there are doors on the 3rd floor that he can't open."
Bendict cursed. "Where's the caretaker? What's his name?"
"Rivold," Tyson said. "He appears to live in a series of officer hubs on the 2nd floor."
When Bendict found him, Rivold was praying at a little shrine on the 2nd floor. The doors of the shrine were open against the wall. From the flame of a stubby red candle, light flickered on the image of the Omnissiah, and fresh libations of oil dripped from the shallow sacrarium. Rivold put a hand up to say that Bendict should wait for a moment, and when he finished, he wiped the oil from his hands onto his apron.
"The machine spirits here are very old," he said as an apology. "They need special care."
Bendict's temper had been rising with each moment he had to wait, and Rivold seemed a safe person to vent it on.
"Listen," Bendict said, "I don't give a freck about the machines. My men had to cross the galaxy to get back to Cadia in her hour of need."
He felt like War Master Rice, waxing lyrical, and his irritation grew.
"We're a tank regiment, and we've been stuck halfway up a mountain in the middle of the Central Massif. Do you know what the hell this place is and why we're here?"
Rivold had a look in his eye that seemed to imply this kind of conversation had happened before. He folded the metal doors back on the shrine and said,
"No."
"Nothing?"
"I have guesses,"
Rivold said.
"Come to my chamber."
Rivold led him to a disused wing with brass fittings and polished nullwood doors.
"This was once the officers' lodgings," he said. "The main barracks are on the 3rd floor. There's room for 3,000 men here at least. I've counted the beds.
It keeps me busy between my duties.
Rivold led him through a pair of double doors, marked with the sign of the Aquila, and into a long corridor lit by a single strip loom. The air had a musty, dry feel. The corridors were clean and neat, and in one of the rooms a light was shining.
"This way, please," Rivold said. "This is my room."
Bendict followed him inside. It was a neat, plain cell. There was a camp bed, a three-drawer dresser, a poster of a red Aquila, and the bold text, "The enemy is listening. Keep it to yourself." The furniture was clearly much newer than the Rockreed fittings, which had an ancient Baroque feel to them. Rivold motioned him to sit down on a plain wooden chair. Bendict remained standing.
"What is this place?" "Observation post,"
Bendict cut him off.
"Quit the grok shit. Clearly not. Why do they need 3,000 men here? What is it to watch? We're halfway up a mountain." "I can't tell you, I'm afraid. I came here 25 years ago."
"And what do you do exactly?"
"I keep the place running. I pray to the Golden Throne. I keep the machine spirits company. Sometimes units come, like yours."
"When?"
"A year ago. They were the Cadian 9034th Airborne. They were not happy to be here."
"I can bet. How long did they stay?"
6 months.
Bendict felt sick at the thought. "Is there any way off this base?" Rivold shook his head.
"There must be." "No."
"Can we scale the mountain or go down? Are there ropes?"
"Others tried,"
Rivold said, and frowned.
"I have seen it. There is nothing. Only the landing pad."
"One landing pad. 3,000 men. There must be something here. My scouts said there are doors on the third level."
"Yes, they bear the name Salvation 9983.
"What does that mean?"
Rivold shook his head. "I don't know."
"Can you open them?"
"No."
"Are you sure?" The old man nodded.
"Well, frick all use they are then."
There were footsteps in the corridor outside. Bendict put his hand to his last pistol, but it was Tyson. He was breathless. He saluted as Bendict slid the sidearm back into its holster.
"Sir, there's been an incident."
He took in a deep breath, and the words spilled out all in one.
"The governor of Cadia is dead."
"Dead?" Tyson nodded.
"There's been an occurrence at Tyrock Fields."
"A battle?" Tyson tried to explain.
"It was the Volscani, sir. They turned the guns on the governor at the Landon site."
He took a deep breath and it all came out in a sentence.
"Some are saying, well, sir, it seems that the Volscani have turned heretic."